This is serious.
Well, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the next episode of the Frisco Report. We are in a full-blown, all hands on deck to see how this season's going to go. What's up, Mike?
What's up, man? How you doing?
We're good, man. It could be better, but, it is what it is. You know, we didn't really think that they were going to lose to the Jets, but, now that they did, it's like, can they beat anybody?
It's panic mode. It has to be.
Yeah. I mean, we're being real about it. It's panic mode, man. I don't see how a fan could possibly, with confidence, legitimately say, we can still turn it around. I mean, dude, you lose to the Jets with a Sam Darnold that didn't play the whole game. It's sucky, dude. Oh, man.
And you know what I hate, Joe?
Yeah.
Is the fans saying, we were 3-5 last year. Last year was completely different. You had a healthy Amari Cooper. God, you had a defense playing at a higher level. This year is completely different than last year. Stop the whole, we were 3-5 last year. This is a whole different, whole different amp.
Yeah, I hate that. And I think those people that are saying that are the, I hate to say it, but the fans that have their head in the dirt. They're just like, well, 3-5, we were able to turn it around. But, dude, this team is not that team. This team is terrible, bro. No energy. I mean, man, the Jets, dude. I mean, can you imagine losing to the Dolphins, but the Jets? I mean, it's terrible, man. They're playing bad football. And we talk about we want them to start an earlier start. It's over. They're not going to fix it. It's going the wrong way. It took a quarter. Now it's a whole half until they wake up. Then it was three quarters for them to wake up. And last week, the fourth quarter it took for them to get. It's sucky, dude. Like, this is bad football.
It is. It is. And, this is kind of the rhythm you get with Jason Garrett as head coach. It's always a roller coaster season. If he makes the playoffs, you can guarantee under Jason Garrett the next year, this is the circus. This is the clowns. Mm-hmm. Of it all right here. You 3-0 to 0-3. And Dak Prescott kind of pissed me off in his press conference. He said, we're 0-0. No, sir. We're 3-3. We're 2-0 in the division. There's no 0-0 here. And by the looks of it, at looking towards our schedule, looking in the future, we still got the Patriots, the Bills, the Lions, the Eagles again. We got the Eagles twice still. The Giants, the Redskins. You never know in the division games how they're going to play out. This team is in trouble, Joe.
They are. They really are, man. And it's funny, man, because I got a video that's trying to publish right now. Like, it's taking forever to process. But I talked about that very thing, man. Where's the win going to come from? Like, you look at that schedule and the Lions, they had a good game that they should have won. That's a good defensively sound team for the most part. And who do you beat? The Redskins in week 17? Right. It doesn't look promising, man. And so on top of all that, now the injuries are coming. So now you got more backups playing to your back. We already play with backup defensive linemen, right? Let's get that right. You got Quinn on a one-year deal. Lawrence is the only long-term guy we have. Everybody else, one-year deals. Like, it's they went cheap, and they're paying for it now. So, it's Crawford's out now with the hip. Secondary is all beat up with Byron Jones and all these guys. Like, it almost feels like an avalanche right now. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's going down here. It's going downhill. They already ruled out Amari Cooper. And you know what's crazy with me, man? Talking about injuries. If you knew that Amari Cooper had a quad injury going into the game, why would you make Devin Smith inactive? I like Cedric Wilson, but that's two different positions. Cedric Wilson slot 1,000%. Devin Smith is really your backup to Amari Cooper. They knew he had a quad injury going into this game, and they inactivated Devin Smith going into that game.
I'd rather have Devin Smith than Tavon, too. I mean, I don't understand why they keep deactivating Devin Smith. At least try to get that deep threat going, man. You know, get that, you know, open up that middle of the field, man. Like, get that safety out of the way. But, man, I don't know. It's more of the same, man. It's just more of the same old, same old. You know, the offense, something happened, right? Like, that offense out the gates, it looked refreshed. It looked different. Now you're back to the Linehan type stuff. And Romo, as his acumen is so high, he already called it. He said, this reminds me of the 2007-2009 offense. And, you know...
It's Jason Garrett offense.
Yeah, Jason Garrett offense. So that spoke volumes, man. That spoke volumes. And Romo isn't one that's gonna hold back. You know, I wish we knew more on the behind the scenes story. Like I have a feeling that Romo wasn't a big fan of Garrett at the end of the day. Like, you know, you hear some of the comments he says, and sometimes you get a little a shade out of it, right? So I like that he's coming out and saying that during the game, but it's not good for the fans because we don't want to hear that. Like, you know, the Garrett influence, the, what did he call it? The footprints or fingerprints are all over this?
It has Jason Garrett's footprints all over it. And it's funny that you say Romo might not have liked Garrett, because there was times where Garrett threw Romo under the bus. There was times where Romo would check out of the play, call a completely different play, and you know, the camera would go to this Cowboy sidelines and Jason Garrett didn't look happy. Mm-hmm. And we just scored a touchdown because Romo changed the play. So I would love to know the behind the scenes to that.
Oh yeah, man. You're right. You're right about that. I think he was audible out of a lot of these crappy calls, man. Like, you know, I just, and I don't know if Dak is, I don't feel that Dak is at that level yet. I mean, he's still a fourth year player. And I don't know, man. It's just it's not good news, man. But defensively speaking, man, like, that's not getting any better. And you know, like, what would it take to win this Philly game, in your opinion?
to win this game, I mean, you need your Knight and Cameron Fleming, our backup tackles. You need them to play well. You, when you give Dak time, Dak in the 3-0 games proves that he could be deadly. And, you know, that's 2.5 to 3 seconds. That's all these guys got to do to hold up. And they have to catch footballs in order to win. How many drops did we see? Yeah, there were some highs, there were some low. But if it hits your hands, you got to catch it. Now, if it hits your hands and your feet and it's that low, I don't expect you to catch it. But the Cowboys, if they're really saying we're a better team, we're beating ourselves, go out there and prove it. You if you want to prove it, a division game at home to secure first place going into the bye week in the NFC East, now is the time to do it. And, you know, us fans were talking about how loaded this roster was, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, how loaded is it? Are we wrong as fans? Maybe it was fool's gold. Maybe this depth isn't as good as we thought it was. The defensive mm-hmm. line, the corners. Anthony Brown's playing like doo-doo. Jeff Heath playing like doo-doo. You bench Jordan Lewis the entire year, and he's really the only corner that has a pick. Cheeto has an interception, but Jordan Lewis has to pick, if you get what I'm saying by that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, they got to go in there, and they got to be able to stop the run, first and foremost. An Eagle fan and I were talking on my last video on YouTube, and, you know, he's like, you know, Dak could have a good game against his secondary. We can if we don't drop the ball.
No, it's going to be a long day, man. With Cam Fleming and the guy off the edge, Barnett, and, well, is he still in, or did he get hurt? I don't remember, but you still got to deal with Fletcher Cox, and that defense is pretty solid still. The corners are not that good. I agree with that, but you know the protection is not good. And here's the scary thing too, Mike, is like, you know, last year 3-5 until they got Coop, right? So now I have a feeling that this Amari injury is gonna look like that first half of last season. 3-5, having a hard time moving the ball, because that's what it looked like last week. You know, after Cooper was out, it looked like 2018 Coop. Like, these guys couldn't move the ball. I mean, it was.
Coop's been hurt all year. Coop hasn't been 100% this entire season. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm so frustrated with this coaching staff, dude, is because if you knew Amari Cooper, like, you could have set out Amari Cooper, you know, to get healthy. And then, because it's a long season. Now we're mid-season, and our best player could be out 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's the scary thing about it, right? So you're talking 2 to 3. It's probably more like 3, because and he's all beat up. Like, it's the quad, it's the ankle. And it's just hold your breath, everybody, because I mean, that Philly game, I'll be honest, I don't see us winning it. We're at home, but we talked about that a lot. Home field advantage ain't nothing in there at AT&T.
Nope.
And then you get the bye, and then and I already see people clamoring for a trade. And I'm telling everybody right now, dude, you do not want to trade picks, because we might have a premium pick at the end of the year. You do not want to trade. You do not want to trade for a Jamal Adams or a whoever the hell else people are putting out. It just roll with what we got right now, and hopefully this team makes the right decisions, man, at the end of the year, because that's where I'm at right now with this team. I want to win, obviously. Like, of course I want to win, but I'm also being realistic about it, man. Like, man, dude, we just can't get it done with Garrett, you know?
And we can't. And you have every right to be realistic, because we don't turn off the TV. We sit there for 4 quarters getting punched in the face as fans. Mm-hmm. So we have every right to be realistic, and we suck. I don't see a bright future ahead of us, not looking at the schedule.
Yeah, that's good. And you know, yeah, that is a first place schedule, but still, I mean, teams that are good, they get it done. I mean, the Patriots, I mean, of course, they're in a crappy division, but you still got to play. You still got to go out there and win.
Gotta play them. Yep.
And, you know, they're just, you know, when you're looking at programs, the Cowboys have had this program with Garrett too long, man. And then the results aren't there. You can't get past the divisional round, even when we do make the playoffs. So, you know.
Exactly.
And then you're drafting low, so you're not getting the premium guys you want. You're getting a Taco Charlton here, and this kind of stuff.
Speaking of Taco, do we miss Taco on that defense?
Man, I still don't understand supposedly they didn't like the attitude. That guy's making plays, man, for Miami. And here we are, the only guy really getting after it is Quinn. You know,
right?
DeMarcus Lawrence, he can't even beat one-on-one matchups now. Like, what the heck happened to him? I already said that this guy reminds me of Anthony Spencer. Plays hard in the contract year, and then Cadillacs the rest of the way. So, yeah.
And one thing about D-Law, man, if you watch his interviews, kind of pissed me off. Because, you know, he talked about injuries and stuff, and he's like, "Do you care? Do you go to work injured or sick or whatever? Yeah, no one cares, right? Mm-hmm. Like, don't go, be quiet. You're not making any plays. Like, go out there and make plays, and then we could talk about if you're injured or not. Because right now, you suck."
Yeah, man, it's not good. He's not playing good, you know. And fans, they'll give him an excuse, you know, like that he's getting double teamed and this and that. I mean, he's been getting double teamed since he was in the league. So that's bull crap, man. he's beaten double teams, so to me, it's he's probably hurt again, or you know, he's just taking the foot off the gas. It's one or the other, maybe both.
Yeah, I think it could be both, to be honest with you. Just looking at it from a fan perspective, I didn't get to look at him at training camp because he was obviously out, but I, from what I'm seeing, it's both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would not doubt. It'll be one of those things at the end of the year where, you know, it comes across Twitter, he's getting a shoulder scoped or something, man. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be something comes across, like, okay, play through injury again.
And I think Antoine Woods coming back, I think it did stop the run a little bit. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, he didn't have a ton of you know, attempts, but when he did get him, we stopped him because Le'Veon Bell is probably one of the patient running backs in the league, and he'll wait for a hole and he'll hit that hole with burst. I think Antoine Woods coming back, I think it helped those gaps, but at the same time, we don't have quality DNs except Quinn, who got 2 sacks against these Jets, that can limit the pass for, you know, pressure a quarterback.
Exactly.
And so we kind of solved one issue, but now we're exposing another one.
And I said this, like, I don't know, since I think this is like my third year on YouTube, but I've said this a while back that with the Cowboys, it's like whack-a-mole. You give your you give your draft picks to the offense, but you're ignoring the defense. So you're supplementing the defense with mid-tier, low-tier, 1 year, 2 year free agents that are just backups, man, and they're trying to mold them into starters. Like, they're trying to sell the fans that these guys are starters and they're gonna get it done. Like Kerry Hyder, Covington, even Antoine Woods. I mean, it's on and on, bro. Tristan Hill, this isn't looking good, man. He cannot beat those guys, and those guys to me are backups. Like, this is not good. You expect your 60th pick to contribute in some sort of way, and he's deactivated.
Yeah, I think, speaking of Hill and just that draft class in general, has been a bust.
We're not getting anything out of it. We're not getting anything out of him.
And this was probably one of the worst drafts that I've seen in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it was not. I mean, it does. It's always that, you know, we should have done this, you know, in hindsight, 2020, man. But, dude, they should have taken the safety. You see Juan Thornhill. He was one of the people we talked about. He's doing good things for the Chiefs. Taylor Rapp's doing pretty good for the Rams. These guys were on the board. They were still there.
Yep. And they drafted a guy that was benched his senior year.
Yeah.
In Florida State.
Exactly. It was a projection pick, and now it's a project pick. So it wasn't a good pick.
And he's an undersized tackle, and in this day and age, the offensive linemen are getting bigger. So Rod Marinelli's philosophy of undersized tackles is dead, because these guards, these tackles are getting bigger.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, man, because I feel like the philosophy as well. So Parcells brought in, I mean, we'll get a little historical here real quick. Parcells brought in the 3-4. We ran that until the 2012 season with Rob Ryan. They canned him. Garrett brought the 4-3 back with Monty Kiffin, the Tampa 2. So from 2013 to right now, the Tampa 2, it just isn't getting it done. It's not good enough. Like, the scheme, they don't want to get a trash can defensive tackle, and they're getting run over. They can't stop the run.
No. And the Tampa 2... Guys, if you don't know, that was Monty Kiffin and Rod Marinelli's peanut butter and jelly over there in Tampa when they won the Super Bowl with Warren Sapp and those guys. And that was, what, in 2002? It's already about to be 2020. That's how old that system is. In the NFL, that's old. Teams catch on to it. They know that when you run Tampa 2, the middle's wide open. They know when you run cover 1, you can, if you have a speedy wide receiver, they can beat you over the top. It's made to stop the big play, but if you don't have the talent, you're going to get the big play like we did with the 92-yarder on Sunday.
Yeah, that's and that's a good point, Mike, because you know, it stops the big play, but in this day and age, for this current offensive schemes that are coming out, it's become more of a dink and dunk league, you know? You know, yep. teams are doing what they can do to get it done, and the dinking and dunking, other teams do it better than others, but they hit those soft zones, and then if your guys aren't tackling, that run after the catch, it's going to eat your ass up, so, and that's what's happening to us.
And we can't tackle to save our damn lives.
And it seems like that has been an issue forever, man. Forever. You know, it doesn't matter if they're bringing in the gurus. So, to me, they got a clean house. They got a clean house. I would say maybe there's a miracle and they turn the season around. But
that needs to be a hell of a miracle.
It really will. It really will be, because you know the coaching's not good. It seems like, and then you see the thing about Garrett, players coming off the field blowing him off. That's terrible.
I think it's worse than terrible, because when I seen that,
yeah,
that tells me Garrett's losing this locker room, and or the locker room is already divided.
This is what's going to happen next, Mike. Watch. This happens with teams that are having issues. At some point in this season, they're going to have a players only meeting, right? Whenever you have that, that's a telltale sign that it's over. It's over for the coach, because now they're trying to take it into their own hands. All right.
Yeah.
So you guys, if you hear that there's a team players only meeting, it's done. That's a nail in the coffin.
If you watch the Dallas Cowboys video with the sights and sounds of the sidelines, and you know they made Jason Witten pretty animated, but you know he was in Kellen Moore's ear. We got to be smarter than this. We got to call better things. Field goals ain't gonna win. And I'm paraphrasing here. He's had a lot of cuss words, but you know, and that tells you right there. If Jason Witten came out of retirement because he saw nothing but talent, just like we saw on this football team, and for them to hold this offense back of what it's capable of doing, Jason Garrett, Kellen Moore, I'm surprised Jason wouldn't, if he hasn't already, called a team meeting.
That's true, man. I mean, man, you come back and you're coming back to this again. I mean, I think this is what he thought the season before was going to be, and it did start out like that, right? It started out 3-5, so he was probably like, I'm glad I'm in the booth, but yep. now it's back. Now it's back.
Yep. you know, I mean, people are, you can bring the refs and do this, but if you look league-wide, it's happening league-wide. I mean, ask the Lions. They'll tell you it's happening league-wide. And but when you beat yourselves, right, and it starts all the way to the Saints game. Jason Witten fumbled, Zeke fumbled, and then you take a big crap against Green Bay, and it's 31-3. There's no way you're coming back from that against Aaron Rodgers. And then in this game against the Jets, it was 21-3. You know, you have a chance to come back to that, because I mean, it's only a 17-point deficit. But if you don't, and this is Joe, people might call me crazy, but Scott Linehan had script plays to start a drive, whether it be in the first half or the second. The first drive of the first half and the first drive of the second half, where we'll go score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Kellen Moore has yet to score a touchdown on an opening drive. How in the world can you call plays and not have a 10-play script of what's going to get you into the red zone, at least the red zone, or their end zone, to get you a touchdown to start the game, set the tempo early? And Kellen Moore doesn't have that. It's fraud, dude. They're fraudulent.
Yeah, it really is, man. It's there. It's all on tape. Everything we're talking about, everything you're saying, Mike, is absolutely true. And they're going the wrong way. We're all the way in the fourth quarter now before they wake up. So, how do they rectify this? It just doesn't look good, man. I just don't see how they're able to turn it around. You know, now your tackles are hurt. Your depth is getting wiped out there on the defensive line. Your secondary players, you know, not into the coach. I'm interested to see how this game is going to unfold. What's your gut instinct, honestly, how you think this game might unfold?
If they don't stop the run and our corners don't get any better, it's going to be an ugly game. Yeah. And I think if we lose against the Eagles and we go 3-4, yeah, we're just 3-4. I think the season is done.
Yeah. it's too many losses in a row. Like, you're the losing cancer, it's in there. And how do you pull it out? I mean, it's got to be, I mean,
it sucks. I hate to be in this position as a fan that talks to Dallas Cowboys, because,
yeah,
like, if we lose to these Eagles, Joe, this team's done. And it is the bye week. And we've seen Paul Alexander get fired. We've seen trades. Scott Linehan almost got fired last year during the bye week. Mm-hmm. I think, let's say it's 35-10, the final score. Eagles win. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jason Garrett has a job. Seriously. Because there's no way you can drop 4 losses in a row and still have a job, because and they're losing the locker room. I just don't see how Jerry Jones is pretty prideful. You know, he'll lie to the media, whatever. But some of the stuff that Jerry Jones been saying on the media, he was saying in the consecutive 8-8 seasons too. Mm-hmm. And so this game, this is more than a must win. This is people's jobs. This is any playoff hopes. This is for morale, to say the least.
Yeah, they gotta get. That's a good point, man. They need that morale there. But I'm with you on that, man. I feel that. And they have pretty good backs. You know, they got Miles Sanders. They got a pretty good combination of back. Howard is there, and you know, they can ground and pound you. They can hit you with the quickness. The receivers, they'll spread you out. Athletic offensive line. Their offensive line's underrated. I think they're going to maul our guys. We don't have any dogs there in the middle. So it could be, man. Let me ask you this. If let's say they lose in an ugly way, and, you know, a lot of yards on the ground, would you be shocked if, you know, during the bye week, there's a firing, but it's not Garrett, it's somebody else?
I would be very shocked.
Like, what if they came out and they said, you know, we're making a change here. We relieve Rod Marinelli of his duties, or Chris Richard, or some. I mean, can you imagine,
I would be very shocked, and here's why.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett's been handpicking its coaching staff for many, many, many years, and you haven't seen it because Scott Linehan was here for 5 years. Rod Marinelli's been here for 6 years now, so you really haven't seen it. But Jason Garrett handpicks his coaches, and I think if you handpick these coaches and it don't work, it's like if you're a supervisor, right? I'm an area manager. If I handpick my team and it don't work, they're all gonna look at me because I handpicked this team to go out there and sell. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so if it don't work, it all goes back on me. And if it don't work, it should all go back on Garrett. That's just how it works in life. And if they fire anybody but Jason Garrett, this team is in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, it's I say it like kind of in a laughing way, but it's just the craziest thing that it could happen, and you're just like, why, dude? Like, what in the world? Now, here's the flip side to that question. Let's say, you know, it is a bad game, right? And they do, would you be surprised if they did fire Garrett? Or would you be more surprised if they didn't fire him?
I think I would. And if they did, let's say we lose, like you said, the same situation to the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And they didn't fire. They didn't fire anybody. They didn't even fire Garrett. That wasn't even a thought, right? Mm-hmm. Then that means that Jerry Jones wants to go back in New York and ring the livestock bell, then to win a championship.
Yeah, because it's and you'll have the ones that will try to sell you on it, especially .com. I feel like .com, they're just they're feeding a lot of fans just like some optimism and well this
man, and
that.
What I don't like about the .com is none of them have cojones over there. Like, you live and breathe in that building. Mm-hmm. And you're going to tell me right now you know nothing, but Adam Schefter can get a text and know everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's definitely I feel that maybe Jesse Holly's the only one that has really said, you know, stuff, and he's a lot of stuff he said has been true, you know, like this is the problem. But the other guys are just kind of sugarcoating or dancing around it, and they don't want to talk about it, but it's not good.
And you know what sucks about that? Is he's on Hanging with the Boys. Yeah. Who even listens to Hanging with the Boys? You know what I mean?
That might be the only reason I do listen to it now, is because of him. Because the other guys, I mean, even Nate is hard to listen to, man. Like, I just, you know, I it's hard to get into that group of people. But I wish they had Holly on one of the other ones. I think that'd be better. You know.
I think it would be better. It would shut a lot of those guys up, and you would see a lot of debates in there, which would make it good radio. Because right now, it's not good radio over there.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been. I would say I liked that radio about 5 years ago, and it seems like ever since from here to 5 years ago, that gap, it just seems like that whole team just kind of went downhill.
Yeah, it is, man. I think really the one show that I do like is their draft show. It's the best one, but the other ones are just like I heard them saying that they're okay with the pass rush. I was like, okay, that's it, man. You gotta be kidding me, man.
Right.
There is no right. pass rush.
Right. There's not. And they know that. But who knows? Their job could be on the line if they talk about the Cowboys. They got Jerry Jones every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Jerry's writing their check, so that's a pretty big influence.
I listen to 105 The Fan, and you know I listen to mm-hmm. a lot of these media questions. Like, they're soft questions.
Yeah.
Like if I had a media pass and I was able to ask Jerry Jones a question after going 0-3 the last three games, my questions would have been, hey, does Jerry still have a good job? I would have been like, why would Garrett still have a job tomorrow? That would be my question. Not, will Garrett have a job? You know what I mean? Like, there's ways you can word questions. And when you're in sales, you find that out, because how you word a question depends on how if you get the sell or not. And when with them, they just hold the little microphone up there and ask a generic question, and Jerry Jones has every authority to give a cop-out answer.
Yeah, that's true, man. Sometimes I watch those, and these guys, they are, man. They're just asking the lamest questions, man. Like, come on, let's get to the real nitty gritty here, all right? But they're walking around.
And it never comes, and it never comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro. So big game, man. Like you said, this is the biggest one, and each one. Each one has been a must-win, but I feel like this is the flashpoint. This is the apex.
This is the make or break.
This is the one where you're on the roller coaster, and you know, right before you go down and you lose your breath from the gravitational pull or the G's that you're pulling. That's where we're at right now. Like, you're kind of looking over, and you know, we're
either this the roller coaster has tracks at the end of the tunnel or it don't.
Yeah.
That's or, the skate.
Or the dang train falls off. That's kind of what I've been exactly. saying, you know. They're falling off exactly. the tracks. So, man, that's where we're at. You know, Mike, it's and you and I, you know, we don't sugarcoat it, man. So, you know, we obviously for you guys listening, we don't want you to guys think we're just, you know, negative Nancys or whatever. This is just where the team is at right now. You know, maybe they do turn it around, but right now this is what we are. They're a bad team.
Exactly. And a lot of people, you know, because, you know, we're fans, I always use the when it comes to this time, because you can be a fan when things are going great. But when things are going like this, you got to be a fanatic. Mm-hmm. We live and breathe this stuff. A fan is cool, but a fanatic takes it to a whole other level. And that's what we do. That's what we are. We're fanatics. We're not just a fan. We're a fanatic. We're the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Exactly, man. It's ride or die, man. It really is. You know, we'll be there for the wins, but we'll be there for the losses. We'll talk about the good, but we're going to talk about the bad too, man. You got to talk about both. So
you got to talk about both. If not, you'll wind up like Dallas Cowboy Media.
Yeah. Yeah. Or some of these other mainstream guys are just like, you know, clickbaitish type stuff. But yeah, man, I think that's it for this one. Mike, good conversation. How can they find you, man, online?
Oh, Dallas Cowboy Football News on YouTube, guys. Hit that subscribe button and let me know that you came here from the podcast.
That's right. And you can find me as well on YouTube, Cowboys Blog, and Cowboys Blog Net on Twitter. Hit me up. We'll talk about it during the game, whatever. But remember to keep subscribing, keep liking our podcast. We're growing little by little organically, which I'm really glad about that. And can't be here without you. Can't be here without Mike. So I appreciate you, Mike. Shout out to you, bro.
No, I appreciate you, Joe. It's always fun doing this with you, man. Always.
Yeah, that's it, guys. We'll catch you for the next podcast. Peace.